there's something deeply mystical about the incarnation. You think about it. God becoming a human being. That is something very, very mystical. And so there's something special, something very magical about Christmas time. Something mystical about the incarnation and magical about Christmas. Writers have been telling Christmas stories for years, and they continue to do it. And then filmmakers turn those stories into movies, and we watch them, and we watch them again, and we watch them again. And why do we do that? Why do we keep reading those stories, or why do we keep getting excited about those stories, and why do we watch those movies on television or at the movies when they have a new one coming out about Christmas? Why do we do that? Well, I believe it's because God's light came during the Christmas season, the first one. And Christmas has brought the light of the world into our world, to us. And divine light can retrieve us from being sinfully set in our ways, like Scrooge was. Very sinfully set in his ways. But divine light has a power, has a mystical and magical power to retrieve us from that hardness, that bitterness, whatever it is that's holding us back from rejoicing. 2 Peter, I found a verse. It's sort of hard to find verses on a movie. Well, on a story. Actually, I watched several movies. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 sort of nails it, I think. Here's what it says. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In this world of trouble, life can seem pretty troublesome. I think as you get older, it becomes more troublesome. And also, in the midst of our hardships, our hearts can actually become hardened. Well, what Christmas does, the spirit of Christmas, it's a light shining in a dark place. And we do well to pay attention to it until a new day dawns in our hearts and Christ, the morning star, rises in our hearts. Yes, we do need those Christmas stories. And A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens was one of them. And it's become probably the most famous one. Because of its mystical and its magical power, we never tire of hearing that story, hearing it retold. So to prepare for this sermon series, I watched 7 movies. Okay, I'll tell you which ones they were. I watched the 1910 silent one, the 1922 silent one, the 1935 first talkie was very good. And then I watched the 1950, which was called Scrooge, is very 1951, very, very good. And 1970 was a musical, and it was very good. Then 1986 with George C. Scott, I think one of the best, actually. 1988, a comedy with Bill Murray that was up to date, Scrooge story, it's called Scrooged, you know. And then 2009. Version that was animated with Jim Carrey, the voice of Scrooge. So each time I watched one of those, I never tired of them. I really enjoyed them. So let's do it again. Let's begin this familiar story. And how we're going to do that is first we're going to look at, number one, the haunts of a selfish soul. The haunts of a selfish soul. There's a difference between not caring about what people think about you, just not caring what people think about you, and not caring about people. The first can be a virtue. The second is always vice. But sometimes the vice can affect the virtue and destroy the virtue of not caring what people think. And that's what it did with Scrooge. He did not care what people thought because he did not care about people. That was terrible. And so Scrooge demonstrated this lack of care on Christmas Eve in how he reacted to people who were into the Christmas spirit. They were really excited about the coming of Christmas, and he was not. And so you see him chasing away these Christmas carolers that are singing out front of his office. He just chases them away, you know, and what they're doing is they're singing and they're asking for a handout, actually. And that's what they, I guess, the first time, first people who sang on the street or played the guitar on the street and were having a cup passed around, well, it was carolers at first in the old days. This was in Britain. Well, then his nephew comes to visit him in his office with a Merry Christmas and an invitation to come to dinner on Christmas Day. And how does he respond? Bah, humbug. You know, yeah, it's a famous line, but he says it again and again. And while his nephew is leaving, still in a good humor, but leaving, he's looking at Bob Cratchit, who's wishing him Merry Christmas, and he says, there's another one. You know, my clerk with 15 shillings a week and a wife and family talking about a Merry Christmas. He's a lunatic. Well, then come some solicitors. And they are asking for donations for the poor during this Christmas season. And Scrooge answers, are there no prisons, no workhouses? Those who are badly off must go there. They persisted and said, many can't go there. Many would rather die. Scrooge replied, if they would rather die, they better do it and decrease the surplus population. Those words he will have to eat later, when the other ghosts come. Well, we haven't met the ghost yet. But what a miserable soul this man was. What a miserable soul. And yet, divine light can retrieve us from being sinfully set in our ways. Christmas offers hope to such a soul as this, a dark soul, because it marks the coming of Christ, a light shining in a dark place. For Ebenezer Scrooge's dark heart, that hope begins with number two, the haunting of redemptive remorse. The haunting of redemptive remorse. After dying 7 years earlier, the ghost of his partner, Jacob Marley, came to warn him of his hellish destiny, saying, no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunity misused. When Scrooge asked him why these chains were binding Marley to these ghostly ledgers and money boxes, he answered, I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it up on my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you, Ebenezer? Is its pattern strange here? Because he warns him, Scrooge has been making a longer one, a longer chain. And he couldn't see it. He looked around. He couldn't see it. No, he couldn't see the results of what he was making, his chain in the future. Well, Marley's misery was to roam the afterlife, to roam the beyond in his afterlife, seeing human needs that he could have met in life, but now found it powerless to meet in death. And that was his remorse. Marley and Scrooge had been very, very good at two kinds of bad, or at a very bad business. They were very good at a bad business, and that bad business was selfishness. Marley laments his case. He says, business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. At this time of the rolling year, I suffer the most. Why did I walk through crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light would have conducted me? yes, the Christmas light could have conducted him. The blood of Jesus Christ, who came on that first Christmas, can wash away the guilt, the personal guilt of our personal sins. But not the deeds of our personal history. The history remains. It's written. It'll always be there, even though the guilt of it is forgiven. The deeds are made by our choices, our free will choices. Now, Marley said that he had forged his chain by his own free will. But how free was his will? How free was his will? Only in the present can we make good or evil choices. Only in the present time. But the present choice must be often begin with the healing of a haunted past. And that's the third point. The healing of a haunted past. Scrooge thought Marley's ghost was a humbug. After it went away, he thought, oh, something I ate. It's just a humbug. Until the ghost of Christmas past appears. And this ghost is an amazing ghost. It looks like, by the way, we haven't turned our first Advent candle on. Oh my, forgot the Advent wreath. It's like a flame. It has a flame coming out of its head. And a bright flame that Ebenezer didn't necessarily like. But this bright flame that was jutting from his head, this ghost was like the other two. All three ghosts had something similar about them. And that was, they had a mission that was similar to the mission or the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think those ghosts were meant to represent the Holy Spirit. In John 16:8, it says this about the Holy Spirit coming. When he comes, Jesus said, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Those three things. We see that all in the ghosts that come to haunt Ebenezer Scrooge. But the Holy Spirit comes to teach, not to control the human will. He comes to teach the human will, to try to get the human will to be convicted and to come to repentance. We do have our free will. When Scrooge asked the ghost to put on this great extinguisher cap that he was carrying under his arm, he had this long extinguisher, like, I don't know if you saw these things that extinguish candles. They're on a staff, and they have a little, they're sort of cone-shaped, and they go down over a candle, and they snuff the candle out. Well, he was carrying one of these underneath his arm, and he asked the ghost to put it on, and the ghost exclaimed, "What? Would you so soon put out with worldly hands the light I give? Is it not enough that you are one of those whose passions made this cup, this cap, and forced me to, through whole trains of years, to wear it low upon my brow?" In other words, we are the ones that make that cap, that extinguisher cap. We are the ones that make it. God does allow us our free will choice. We can extinguish the light if we want to. We can say no to the light. But in showing Scrooge his past Christmases, the ghost allowed him to review certain things. Forgotten blessings. He was going to review forgotten blessings. We do need to review that sometimes. And he was also going to review mentally suppressed misfortunes that were formative in his life. And the past can be very, very formative if you've studied that. It can. So he sees all of these things in his past. He sees his stern father leaving him at school during the holidays, and all his friends are going off, and he's left alone by his stern father at home. But he rejoiced in the imaginative reading of literature. It just delighted him to study Alibaba and the 40 Thieves and all these imaginations that he was seeing himself as that lonely boy enjoying himself. And when he saw that, he regretted not giving a gift to the to those young carolers that were singing in front of his office. Then he saw Fan again. Fan, his sister, who loved him dearly and who had been so kind to him and had given birth to his only nephew, the nephew that he had been sort of disgruntled against and said, "Bah, humbug," before she died as a young mother. So there were things of memory that were sad, and there were things that were happy, blessings and misfortunes. Then he saw old Fezziwig. Now, Fezziwig was his first employer, who had been so kind and generous and had thrown a party one Christmas that Scrooge had really gotten into, and he was getting into it again as he was looking at this happen. And as he saw this for a festivity going on, it pricked his conscience about his disparaging words to Bob Cratchit, who was his employee, Bob Cratchit. So you see, the magic of the Christmas spirit, Christmas past, was starting its work. It was starting its work. And then he saw his fiancée, Belle. But she was breaking up with him because she felt displaced by his new golden idol, money. And then he saw her later as a happy mother with children that might have been his own if he had married her. And something happened then. But I first want to say this. The only reason the Holy Spirit will take us back and have us to review past blessings is review our past is so that he can heal us. Sometimes he shows us past blessings so that we can have an opportunity to be grateful, because our gratitude will soften our heart that has become hardened through ingratitude. And then when he helps us to forgive those who have brought pain into our lives, he's trying to undo the cords of bitterness that bind us in our present life. So the past is very important. And a review of the past by the Holy Spirit's light is very important. And when we have to forgive, it's not just cruel people in our lives that sometimes we have to forgive. Sometimes it's loved ones. Sometimes it's our own self, our very own person, choices that we made that were wrong choices. And sometimes we must forgive God. God, why did you let that happen? Why did he die? Why did that accident happen? Why did you not heal them from sickness? And we must go back and say, God, I don't understand why, but I forgive. I forgive you doing that. Some people say that's not theologically correct. I believe because of the Psalms, it is. It is. So Scrooge could not stand the light of that last revelation with his fiancée. And what he did, it says the visitation with the ghost of Christmas past ended with a struggle. Scrooge seized the extinguisher cap and by a sudden action pressed it down upon its head. The spirit dropped beneath it so that the extinguisher covered its whole form. But though Scrooge pressed it down with all his force, he could not hide the light which streamed from under it in an unbroken flood upon the floor. We can try to deny the light, but we cannot really extinguish it. We cannot really extinguish it. Divine light is sent to us to help retrieve us from being sinfully set in our ways. And we do well to pay attention to it. God's light upon our past can begin the healing of our memories. And our memories affect us today. Our memories of the past affect us today. But often, it takes more than one or two episodes of his light upon our darkness in order to bring about a complete transformation. Ebenezer Scrooge needed more light. not less. And so do we. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this introduction to A Christmas Carol. By going back into our past, Lord, I know that your light tries to bring into view the blessings that we've forgotten, that we can be grateful for, and that gratitude can undo the hardness of our ingratitude. And then, Lord, there are misfortunes, there are mistakes that we have made. We sometimes have to forgive ourselves and others who have brought things into our lives that have caused us deep pain, that we remember, we've become bitter about, until we release those bonds through the power of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to snuff out your light, but to let the light of Christmas shine upon us this season, and maybe help us to have our memories of the past healed, so that we can in the present praise you and live for you with truly a Christmas spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.